Like to pick up this morning where we left off last week. We've been having a series of messages on the Holy Spirit. It is vital that we have the Holy Spirit in our life. We had a started off by walking in the Spirit, a couple of messages on walking in the Spirit, and then listening to the Spirit. Now we're considering being led by the Spirit. Because people, they get saved, they get forgiven of their sins, and they come and ask the Lord to fill him with his Holy Spirit. And then the question is, what now? We're just getting started on the journey. When we have received the Holy Spirit, it is not time to sit back and relax and say, I'm waiting for Jesus to come. Because we're just getting equipped to start the journey of life. And in the journey of life, there's going to be some hills, there's going to be some valleys. And yes, there's still going to be some failures. There's going to be some disappointments because we're still human. But we have been equipped to live life in a relationship with God, and we are desperately in need of His Holy Spirit. But if I have His Spirit, what do I do with it? Well, that's what we've been looking into. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to listen, and we want to be led by the Spirit as opposed to being led by our own ways. As opposed to being led by our own ideas, by our own thoughts, by our own opinions. Because, again, and we covered this last Sunday, but just as a brief preview or review, my thoughts and my opinions won't get you to heaven. Is there an amen to that? All right, but here's the other side of that. Your opinions won't get you to heaven either. Now it's quiet. Your opinions, and well, I see it this way. Frankly, it's relatively unimportant how you see it, but how I see it is still important to me. But I have to come to a place that I recognize how I see it's not going to change the truth. And I can argue and I can get into a discussion to where I can have all my points lined up and I can think I can make a case for doing it this way or that way. But when it comes down to it, you're not going to be judged by what I say. You're going to be judged by what the Bible teaches. And the Spirit of the Lord will never lead us contrary to what the Bible teaches. Many people say, well, the Lord showed me such and such. And it's different than what the Bible teaches. And all I can say is, you either weren't listening or you misunderstood or something. But the Spirit of the Lord will never lead us contrary to His Word. And I want to encourage us this morning to openly acknowledge the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our life. What is motivating us when we have choices and decisions? What are we being led by? I would much rather someone just acknowledge and saying, you know what, this is what I want to do, than saying, this is God's will for me. In other words, don't argue with me. God showed me. If it's your opinion or your desire, just say that. Unless the Lord really showed you. And if the Lord showed you, it will always dovetail with His Word. But the Lord wants us to acknowledge His leadership, and He wants us to follow Him. That's a brief preview of last Sunday, and I'd like to pick up in the fourth chapter of Matthew. Matthew in the fourth chapter, we'll begin reading with verse 1. It said, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit. Did you get that? Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was ahungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written. Now, there are other things vying for leadership in our lives. We've got the flesh, and we've got the world, and we've got the enemy, and sometimes those all start blending into one. But there are other things vying for leadership in our life. And the enemy came along and he said, if thou be the Son of God. In other words, we're going to put a religious tone to this thing. That's how the enemy works, folks. He likes to cloak unrighteousness in a garment of righteousness. He said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And you know, there would have been nothing wrong with Jesus turning stones into bread. But doing it as a result of the enemy made the difference. So Jesus answered with the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Before we get too much into that, take note, Jesus was led up of the Spirit. Now, doesn't that sound good? Do you like to be led by the Spirit? Isn't it nice when you can say, I have been led by the Spirit? Because when you are truly led by the Spirit, it really doesn't matter what everybody else is saying. When you are truly led by the Spirit, and folks, I've been there, and you can be criticized, and your name can be cast out, but the Spirit of the Lord was leading, and it gave confidence. I don't have to worry because I'm in God's hands. And to be able to make decisions, and to be able to make choices, and to be able to make moves in our lives because I have been led by the Spirit, it trumps what everybody else thinks. It supersedes my own opinions and my own perceptions because the Lord spoke. And we already talked about how the Lord speaks to us. But He has spoken now, and I'm being led by the Spirit. Well, it sounds good to be led by the Spirit. You remember Philip? We looked at him a couple of weeks ago, and I want us to turn there. We're going to come back here to Jesus in a moment. But do you remember when Philip was led by the Spirit to leave a revival that was taking place, and he also was taken into kind of a desolate desert to speak to an Ethiopian? In other words, human wisdom would have been stay where you could reach more people. But the Spirit of the Lord led him to reach one. You see how that's different than what our thinking is? Sometimes our thinking is, how can I be more effective to reach the most people? I've struggled with that personally. Where can I be to reach more people with the gospel? Folks, it's not about our human perceptions of how many. Philip was being led by the Spirit to reach one, and he left the great revival that was going on. Don't despise the day of little things. If you are being led by the Spirit, don't worry about how many or how much or how little. You leave those things in the hands of God, but be led by the Spirit. But take note, we won't even turn to necessarily read it. But it's over in the 8th chapter. Yes, I do want to read it too. In Acts, in the 8th chapter. I want us to get it exactly like it is. In Acts, in the 8th chapter, and we're revisiting this, so we're not going to read the whole story. But in the 8th chapter of Acts, in the 29th verse, the Spirit said unto Philip, are you listening for what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to you this morning? The Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip sat down and prayed about it and considered and thought and sought counsel. And then he went to obey the Spirit. Is that what it says? Are you following along in your Bibles? It said, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and he said, understandest thou what thou readest? Philip was being led by the Spirit. And you read the scriptures before this, the Lord spoke to Philip and told him, you be in this place. But now the Spirit of the Lord came along and said, go. When the Spirit of the Lord leads us, folks, it's time to move. Because the Spirit of the Lord will not tell us what He wants us to do until it's time to do it more often than not. You understand? Because if the Lord told me what I was going to do, what I was supposed to do next year, do you know in my flesh what I'd be doing today? I'd be starting to plan. And I'd probably get there a few months earlier than what the Lord told me. But when the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Philip, Philip ran. In other words, timing was important. When the Spirit of the Lord tells us something and leads us, it's time to be obedient when He tells us to do it. Because if Philip would have said, okay, Lord, I know You told me this, and I'm not talking about when we're seeking to know the voice of God. I'm not talking about when we're saying, Lord, I want to be sure. But I'm saying when we know it's the Spirit and this is what He said and this is what He wants me to do, we can pray ourselves right outside of God's will if we're not obedient. There have been people that have known the truth and they prayed about it so long, instead of obeying it, they prayed themselves right out of it. And there's also a place that people do this. There are things the Spirit of the Lord leads us to do, and there is a window of opportunity in which to do it. When the Spirit of the Lord said, go, Philip ran. In other words, he was doing the will of God, and I'm not going to delay, but I'm going to do it. If he would have delayed, the Ethiopian would have been gone. Now, Philip had to run to catch up or ran along beside him for a while. How long could have he done that? I know if I was running after a chariot, I'd have to get there immediately, or it would be gone. Do you realize that when the Lord tells you something to do and leads you, many times there is a window of opportunity. And if we are not obedient to what He's telling us, He's not always going to keep telling us to do the same thing. If the Lord gives you a burden to visit someone or call someone, it may be because there's a window that they need to hear from you. And you don't do it, and then 2 weeks later you think, well, I guess I'll get around about it, and you just don't feel the burden anymore. You lost your window of opportunity. You can still call, but the Lord had something in mind for that time when He impressed you to do it. There is a window of opportunity. Take heed, folks, as the Spirit leads us, let's not tarry, but let's be diligent and let's be faithful. Now, when we talk about the Spirit leading, I like the story of Philip. It moves me. Because the Lord used him, and even though it was just one person I have in my mind, the Ethiopian going back to Ethiopia to the queen and sharing the gospel and the gospel spreading. Do you know where the first Christian church was in Africa? It was Ethiopia. Now, I don't know if this was exactly where it all came from, but I have to believe the Spirit of the Lord had something in mind. Well, that moves me, and it sounds good because Philip was led by the Spirit. But do you recognize that a Spirit-led Christian is always ready for God to interrupt their plans? I'm talking about being filled with the Spirit, Spirit-filled life. A Spirit-led Christian will always be ready for God to interrupt their plans. Well, Lord, I'm going to get to that. You know how many times people are going to get to doing God's will? When they're young, well, I have my school to get done, I've got my career to do, I've got the children to raise, and I'm just a little too inexperienced right now, and you keep doing that until you get old and say, oh, I wish I could, but I'm too old now and I'm too infirmed. When are we going to do God's will? Do it today. As He leads you, not in your opinions, not by presumption, not by your own wisdom, but as the Spirit leads you, I want to encourage you to take the window of opportunity and be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. But thinking about as we are led by the Spirit, we should not rely on our own ways, but we should always be ready to do as will regardless of what we think about it. Is that right? Because there are going to be some times, and I'll tell you, when I get the most caution is when I believe the Lord is leading me to do something that I want to do anyway. He does that sometimes. And that's nice. But it really doesn't happen very often. Because, you know, normally the Spirit of the Lord is leading us. Remember, the things of the Spirit are contrary to the things of the flesh. So there's something in my flesh that's wanting to go a different way. What's easy? What's most convenient? And the Lord is leading us differently. So I want to encourage you all to be very careful this morning when it just does, yes, the Lord showed me that was just kind of what I thought anyway. Be sure that you're not letting your thinking or your wisdom be labeled the Holy Spirit when it's really not the Spirit. That's time to go back to prayer and say, Lord, I want to be led by Your Spirit. When you are led by the Spirit, you will not always be popular. Do you believe that? When you are led by the Spirit of the Lord, there will be people that sit right in fellowship with you that will disagree with you. You will have family members that are saved, and they're going to tell you you're doing the wrong thing. There will be people that you worship with and that you have confidence in that love you so much that their vision is blurred by truth, without truth. It's blurred by their own perspectives. Because I love you so much that I don't see, I don't have perspective. Now, is that true? Y'all help me out now. It's true for everybody else, right? Or is it true for me and you? Sometimes we can love someone so much that our vision is we really don't see what's going on. That applies across the board, folks. When we are led by the Spirit of the Lord, and I know of what I speak this morning, there will be people that love us so much. I remember the first time when the Lord first called me to start working in Africa. You know, not everybody just jumped on that bandwagon. I'm glad I didn't listen because I was listening to the Lord. And do you realize, though, that there are people that love me so much that they don't want you to put yourself in harm's way. They don't want you to put in, you know, I've got this from people, oh, there's so much work in the U.S. There's so many places, there's so much needs in the U.S. You don't need to be going over there. That's the flesh speaking. Because if the Lord gave me a burden and led me somewhere, do you know He is not obligated to lead you for me? Is that right? The Lord has a way, though, of proving Himself over time. Some of those same people today would acknowledge today, they were wrong. See? And there have been things in my life I would acknowledge I was wrong. That I thought the Lord did or didn't want something, and I realized that was my thinking and my perspectives. But when we're led by the Spirit, folks, it's where we need to die out to our own ideas. And it doesn't mean we're not going to have the ideas. Okay? This idea that we're just completely dead and we don't have any feeling anymore, I don't know where that came from, but I still have feelings and I still have my opinions and I still have my thoughts. But my call as a Spirit-led Christian is to keep my ideas right here on the altar and say, Lord, I don't want to be led by that. I want to be led by Your Spirit. I want You to lead me, and then I want to be obedient to that. The Spirit of the Lord is going to lead true, folks. He's going to lead you true. And He's going to lead us to places that we are supposed to be there when we are supposed to be there. That's what He did with Philip. The time was right. The Ethiopian was there, and he said, now's the time I want you to go talk to him. And Philip ran to do the will of God. But I want us to understand this, that the Spirit of the Lord, when He says the Spirit led, or the Spirit moved, we think, oh, that is almost romantic sounding. That sounds good. That's what we want. But do you remember where we first read, the Spirit of the Lord led Jesus where? Into the wilderness. And a wilderness is representative of something that's barren and dry. There's not a lot of people there. It's a lonely place. Yes, but the Scripture said, and David said so poetically, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, I could just about melt with that, couldn't you? I like that. Do you know that is a reality just as well? It is a reality in our spirits when we are led by the Spirit. But I want us to understand the Spirit of the Lord, while He can give us peace on the inside, those still waters inside, that's what it's talking about. On the outside, it may be a wilderness. I may be in a very lonely place, in a desolate place, but thank God I can still be beside the still waters in my heart because I'm where God wants me to be. But on the outside, it's a wilderness. It's a barren place. It's a lonely place. It was a place of temptation. It was a place of trial. It was a place of battle. Do you know the Spirit of the Lord leads Philip to minister to the Ethiopian? And we like that story. But the Spirit of the Lord will also lead you into some wilderness times. He's going to lead you to some lonely places sometimes. And you look around and say, Lord, is this really Your will? I thought it was all supposed to be peaches and cream. No, serving God, there's some rough places. There are some hard times, but the Spirit of the Lord will lead us to those hard times. But if you will be diligent to continue walking after the Spirit, He will lead you out of those times as well. He will lead you into some wildernesses in life, but it is for your benefit. It is for your good. It is that we can be strong. Jesus became strong through that temptation. And temptation is not something that we don't want anyway. Temptation is something that looks good. Jesus was hungry. He had fasted for 40 days. And yes, Jesus would have liked to turn the stones into bread, because He was hungry. Temptation is not wrong. If you haven't been tempted for a while, I'm concerned for you spiritually, because you've probably given in to some things. Temptation is when I feel the draw in my spirit, the Lord saying, don't do it. And so there's this battle going on. Thank God for temptation. Is that right? If you haven't been tempted for a while, you better start examining your life, because you've probably been given in to some things of the flesh. We're still in the flesh. But it was through the Spirit that we find the power to say no to the flesh. It's through the Spirit that we are enabled to overcome. But we will go through wilderness experiences. We will go through times of temptation. But I'm thankful the Lord will bring us out. And I'm thankful that there are victories to be won. Because the wilderness times of life, as we are led by the Spirit, folks, they are preparing us for something better. So in every hardship, if you're in a hardship this morning, and you are being led by the Spirit, regardless of where the hardship came, if your life is following the Spirit this morning, you can know the Lord can turn that thing around and work in ways that you would never expect or ever dream could happen, because God wants to work in your life. But you're going to have to be led by the Spirit. So Lord, if this is where You lead me, I may not understand all of the reasons. And it doesn't even make sense to me. It seems like, Lord, You'd do it this way if You were really working. But folks, if we're going to be led by the Spirit, we are going to have to learn to trust in the Spirit. In other words, we talked about this last Sunday, I'm not going to trust in my own way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways do what? Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Do we want to be led by the Spirit this morning? Then acknowledge Him. Come to the place that you're really willing to say, Lord, I want You to lead me, whatever it means, instead of saying, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. Please bless it in Jesus' name. No. Lord, what do You want me to do? Where do You want me to go? How do You want me to respond? And Lord, by Your strength, I will be obedient. And when I don't understand the outcomes of that leadership, when I do not understand people's responses to that leadership, when I do not understand the physical and the temporal and the financial problems that come from that leadership, Lord, I'm going to be faithful because I trust You to lead me true. Jesus was led by the Spirit. May the Lord lead us this morning, trusting in Him. Folks, you can expect this morning the Holy Spirit to lead you out of your comfort zone. And if He doesn't, I again would start questioning whether you are really being led by the Spirit. Because, again, the Spirit of the Lord will lead us every time. He will lead us away from the contamination of this world. People that are trying to mix the love of the world into their spiritual experience are going to find themselves falling right back into the things that God delivered them from. What has God delivered you from this morning? Don't go back. If God has delivered you, don't go back. And you say, how can I keep from doing it? By the power of the Holy Spirit. But you're going to have to listen to Him. You're going to have to walk in the Spirit. And you're going to have to be led by the Spirit. He will not take you back to the place that you failed repeatedly over and over. The Spirit of the Lord won't do that. So if that's happening in your life, don't blame God for it. You made a decision. Amen? I can't start blaming other people. Blame the pastor if you want. Blame your in-laws if you want. Blame your family if you want. Blame whoever you want, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife. You're going to stand before God and do business for yourself with Him. And I'm not going to be able to say someone else, it was their fault. No, the Spirit of the Lord wants to lead us this morning, and He will lead us to a wealthy place. That wealthy place is through the wilderness. It's through a place of temptation. It's often through a place of loneliness. And it's in a place sometimes where this person I have confidence in says, do this, and this one says, do something else. And I say, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And He's saying, be led by My Spirit. And His Spirit will never contradict His Word. I remember a time speaking about being led out of our comfort zone. Actually, I say a time, there's been numerous times. But when the Lord has called us, and just speaking personally in our ministry, to leave places of relative, and I say relative, security, to paths unknown, to temporal instability. But you know what? The Spirit of the Lord leads unerring. There are blessings in being led by the Spirit. There is a relationship with God and a connection that you will have with the Lord when you follow His Spirit. Because see, I say led by. In other words, God's not going to push you. He's not going to force you. He's walking in front of you, leading you. It's our decision whether we're going to follow or not. It's your choice. God's not going to twist your arm to do what's right. You don't want to follow His leading, you will find yourself, and we'll get here later on another Sunday, Lord willing, you will start grieving His Spirit. But He's not going to force you. So we're going to have to follow. We're going to have to be led by the Spirit. But have we not made it safe thus far? Doesn't the song we sing say the Spirit talks about the Spirit led unerring to the land I hold today? Folks, the Spirit of the Lord will lead you to a good place. Yes, wilderness. Yes, loneliness sometimes. Yeah, financial problems sometimes. Yes, health problems sometimes. Yes, when everybody thinks you're doing something, you're not. Just follow the Lord. Keep your eye on the Lord and be faithful. Keep your attitude right. Do you know what's difficult? Is when you're being led by the Spirit and people around you aren't, it's easy to start getting a little bit of bitterness. Have you ever experienced some of that struggle? Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep. What did Peter say? He looked around. Yeah, well, what about John over there? Jesus said, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. In other words, in our English language, mind your own business. You follow me. And everybody else has a plan for your life. What is God's plan for your life? What's God's plan? Where's the Spirit leading you? You say, I don't know. Then don't make major changes in your life until you know. If you don't know, if you're still waiting on the Lord, if you're still trying to listen, and you're still trying, do not make major life changes until you know. And then when you know, and the Spirit of the Lord has confirmed that to you, then I would encourage you to do as Philip and run to do the bidding of the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, beginning with verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, if you are led by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because the Spirit won't take you there. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. There are two forces this morning, the flesh and the Spirit, and they are all vying to be our leaders. Let's choose the Spirit. Let's choose life this morning. I want my attitudes. I want my perspectives. I want my thoughts. I want who I am. I want to be filled and saturated. I want to be baptized with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have to walk in Him then. I'm going to have to listen. I'm going to have to yield. I'm going to have to be led by Him. But again, it's by choice. It's not by force. So let's remember who we are. Remember what scripture we read last week about who a child of God was? Those that are led by the Spirit are children of God. Who are children of God? Those that are led by the Spirit. Well, I remember a little story. There's a little 10-year-old boy that was walking down the road, and he was with his family, and there's a movie theater down the road. He saw that, and he took off running. Escaped from mom and dad, and his mother was frantically looking for her little boy. Finally, about 30 minutes later, she found him. And she found him. She said, "What possessed you to go into that movie theater?" She said, "You know the preacher teaches that it's wrong to go to movies." So, "Oh, Brother Michael, are you saying it?" All right. Do you know what? I want to say something else. You're going to put yourself into some bad influences to go to the movie theaters. Is that still right? That's not the point of my message. But I want you to understand something. Watch what influences you're putting yourself under. This morning in the Sunday school class, I've been kind of going through, and we got caught up in a discussion. One of the things that came up was the music that we listened to. Bible doesn't say thou shalt not and thou shalt, but it tells us what kind of spirit we're supposed to have. It teaches us that all things be pure, the things we listen to. And you say, "Well, who says that kind of music's wrong?" Are the words holy? If you do what it says, is the Lord going to be pleased with it? That'll take care of a lot of the music that's out in the world, folks. You don't need the preacher to make a list on the board. You know in yourself whether it's right or wrong. And then get down to the music, not just the words now, but how does it make me feel? I asked the children. I said, "Well, what about that gospel rap? You know, the words are good." I even hate to hardly say that. But the point is, there's some truth there. But how does it affect my spirit? How does it affect my mood? Does it draw me to act more like Christ? Or does it give me that, you know what I'm talking about? All right, be led by the Spirit. So anyway, the mama asked the little boy, let's get back to our story. He said, "But mama," he said, I just couldn't help myself. I smelled the popcorn and it smelled so good that I just had to go in and get some. And he said, and the floor of that movie house was so slick that I just slid right on in. Doesn't that sound just like the flesh? It was the popcorn. Are you preaching against popcorn? No, but you know what? It might be good to watch where you get it. But the enemy does that. He'll take something that's fine, that's good, nothing's wrong with it, and try to take something that's good to draw us to a place that's not good. And you say, "Oh, Brother Michael, are you sure you should be doing that?" "Oh, yeah, I'm just getting popcorn. That's not wrong. I'm saved and I love the Lord and that's not wrong." But I'll tell you what, that floor gets so slick when you get close there, you'll find yourself just sliding in places you shouldn't be. What are we being led by? Be led by the Spirit. And it doesn't really matter what everybody else is doing. Well, everybody else is doing it. You know, you've heard me say, I tell my children before, when they bring that up, well, everybody, that sends off the red lights more than anything else. If everybody's doing, I'm kind of wondering, okay, now what's going on? Because normally what everybody's doing, something a lot of times isn't good for us, isn't it? So what are we being led by? What are we using as a litmus test for our decision making? Is it the Word? Is it the Spirit or is it the flesh? Is it the world? Is it those things that are going to get me on that slippery slope that's going to take me back to the very things God delivered me from? Now he concluded by saying that those that are led by the Spirit are not under the law. There was no power found under the Mosaic law. There was no power there. The law brought guilt. It brought condemnation. It brought that struggle of I wanted to do right and I couldn't do it. But folks, we are living in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit today. We are not living in the dispensation of the law. And through the Holy Spirit, we have the power to live holy before God and to walk in peace in our spirits, even though around us there's wilderness times. We're not under the bondage of the law. We're walking in the Spirit. And I want to say, people that say, well, we don't have a law mentality. I don't want a law mentality. I want a Spirit mentality. The law says if you don't do it, this is the penalty. And they struggle with it. But I want to tell you what the Lord does in the Spirit. And this is our last verse. In Jeremiah 31, verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel in those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in the inward part, and I will write in their hearts, and they will be their God, and they shall be my people. So now my life is not based on a law. It's not based on an outward law, but it is based on something that the Spirit of the Lord did in my heart, that now I'm not doing it to measure to an outward standard of men, but I am doing it to please the Lord. Folks, the Lord wants to write His Spirit in our hearts. And if we get a little blurred and we don't understand what He's saying, we can come back and ask for the Lord to transform our minds. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and be not conformed to this world, but be what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, I want you to write your law in my heart. Because we don't live in a dispensation of law, we live in a dispensation of grace. A dispensation of the Holy Spirit. So let's be led by the Spirit, saints. Let's allow the Lord to lead us, and let's be faithful in our obedience. Amen.